JG2. Number 7A.
Would be taking into consideration, therefore, the ideas that of the synonymous term. To me, this is a concession way too great for this level, and I'm not happy with it. The way we've discussed the law is the way that I feel is really of it's a concession enough to the synonymous terms in their gestalt. But to make the concession to bringing in and exercising this law with ideas is already a concession to the absolute Christian Science level, and I struggle with that. I think it's something that when one is really have cultured consciousness through the eight ordered steps to oneness with being, as we saw last evening, where on step three we identify with the ideas of the synonymous terms, and on step four we see how those ideas of the synonymous terms interrelate to give off the tone synonymous terms. So step five, we see that the mind which is God is our mind. We have no other mind than the mind which is God. And step six, we see that life, truth, and love programs mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love experience for success. Therefore, on step seven, it's I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, and I love. There's no reason why when it, with that tonality in consciousness, we can't culture this, the exercise of the law as we've taken it without taking in the various ideas. But we can see that if one struggles as a young student to the subject, one can perhaps make that greater concession to the ideas that characterize the synonymous terms. For example, if we turn therefore to page 70 in the study aid, we have that whole subject of the dimensional structuring of the ideas of the seven synonyms for God. And we read, on the basis of the levels of science, the ideas of the seven synonyms for God can be dimensionally ordered, showing how the synonyms themselves appear on each level. Considering the levels in the descending way, we can distinguish definite categories. So we're concerned with the level of science itself, and we say, for example, what is the synonym as itself? That is, what does the synonym know about itself, as a synonym as such, or as a whole? Therefore, taking mind, for example, on page 71, it's perhaps possible then in choosing ideas for this law that in order to grasp the nature of the law, when mind is being its own infinite mind and in pondering in prayer, we could say, well, if mind is being its own infinite mind, we could say, well, what mind is as itself on the science level, column one, we could take in those characteristics and maybe say, well, that mind is the one mind, the all, the first, the primordial conception. It's really that one mind is being its own infinite intelligence, that one mind is being its own infinite will, that one mind is being its own infinite power, that one mind is being its own infinite all, you see? Or when mind blends with spirit, one can look at page 72 and see, therefore, that one mind, therefore, is being its own infinite reality, that one mind is being its own infinite nature, that one mind is being its own infinite good. On column one for spirit, only taking in those qualities of spirit. Or we can turn to page 73 for soul. When mind is being its own infinite soul, then that one intelligent mind is being its own infinite self-sameness. That one intelligent mind is being its own infinite divine ego. That one infinite mind is being its own infinite withinness. That one infinite mind is being its own infinite identity. That one mind is being its own infinite immortality. Or when considering that one mind being its own infinite principle on page 74, staying within the tonality of the ideas of principle, therefore that one mind is being its own infinite one mind, that one mind is being its own infinite supreme being, that one mind is being its own infinite indivisible whole as mind, that one mind is being its own infinite science of mind. And then for life, we can see on 75, sticking within the tonality of life on the science level, therefore that life is being, that mind is being its own infinite isness, that mind is being its own infinite individuality, that mind is being its own infinite self-existent. And then on page 76, truth, on column 1, science itself. Therefore, that one mind is being its own self-consciousness, that one mind is being its own ideal, standard of self-consciousness, for example. And on page 77 for love, that one mind is being its own infinite perfection, that one mind is being its own infinite self-sufficiency, that one mind is being its own infinite love. Now that may help get a tonality if one just can't stay with one mind being its own infinite mind, or mind is being its own infinite spirit, or mind is being its own infinite soul, or mind is being its own infinite principle, or mind is being its own infinite life, and seeing that mind includes within itself its own infinitude. Let's just try spirit. We'll just take a few exercises just to build up the method. Therefore, when spirit is being its own infinite spirit, and what is that awareness or experience? Then we stick with column 1. Spirit is being its own infinite mind. Therefore, spirit is being its own infinite all. Spirit is being its own infinite basis. Spirit is being its own infinite primordial conception. Spirit is being its own infinite intelligence. Spirit is being its own infinite will. Spirit is being its own infinite power. Within spirit, it is being its own infinite mind, huh? And then page 72, column 1. When spirit is being its own infinite spirit, then spirit is being its own infinite reality. Spirit is being its own infinite nature. Spirit is being its own infinite good. Or spirit with being its own infinite soul, page 73, column 1. Therefore, spirit is being its own infinite self-sameness. Spirit is being its own infinite divine ego of spirit. Spirit is being its own infinite withinness of spirit. Spirit is being its own infinite immortality of spirit. Then 74, what is it when spirit is being its own infinite principle? It means, therefore, that spirit is being its own infinite one of spirit. Spirit is being its own infinite supreme being. Spirit is being its own infinite indivisible whole. Spirit is being its own infinite science of spirit. Or what is it when, therefore, spirit is being its own infinite life? Page 75, column 1. Then spirit is being its own infinite isness. Spirit is being its own infinite individuality. Spirit is being its own self-existence of spirit. And then spirit 76, column 1. What is it when spirit is being its own infinite truth? Well, then spirit is being its own infinite divine self-consciousness. Spirit is being its own infinite ideal standard. Spirit is being its own infinite ideal standard of the wholeness of spirit itself. And then what is it when spirit is being its own infinite love? It means on page 77, column 1, then spirit is being its own infinite, has within itself its own infinite realm of perfection. Therefore, spirit is being its own infinite perfection. Spirit is being its own integrated being. Spirit is being its own infinite self-sufficiency within its own infinite realm of spirit. So we see then that spirit contains everything within itself to be its own infinitude of spirit. So let's do one more soul just to make sure we have the method right, and then you can do the rest with principle, life, truth, and love. This evening when we go over in our quiet time the law in concept build, tonality build, consciousness build, and being build the law. What is it therefore when soul is being its own infinite soul? That soul carries within itself its own infinite infinitude. Therefore we would see that soul is being its own infinite mind on page 71, column 1. Therefore, soul is being its own infinite all of soul. Soul is being its own infinite basis of soul. Soul is being its own infinite primordial conception. Soul is being its own infinite light of soul. Soul is being its own infinite divine will of soul. Soul is being its own infinite power of soul. Or what is it on page 72 when soul is being its own infinite spirit, column 1? It means that soul is being its own infinite reality of soul. Soul is being its own infinite nature of soul. Therefore, soul is being its own infinite nature of good. And what is it when soul is being its own infinite soul? Page 73, column 1. Then soul is being its own infinite self-sameness of soul. Soul is being its own infinite divine ego of soul. Soul is being its own withinness of soul. Soul is being its own identity of soul. Soul is being its own immortality of soul. And therefore, what is it when soul is being its own infinite principle on 74, column 1? Therefore, soul is being its own infinite one of soul. Soul is being its own supreme being of soul. Soul is being its own indivisible whole of soul. Soul is being its whole science of soul. That included within soul is soul being its whole science of soul. And what is that experience of the science of soul? We see, therefore, that science is being, excuse me, that soul is being its own infinite life, page 75, column 1. Therefore, soul is being its own infinite being of soul. Soul is being its own infinite isness of soul. Soul is being its own infinite individuality of soul. Soul is being its own infinite self-existence of soul. Then, what is it when soul is being its own infinite truth? On page 76, column 1. Then soul is being its own divine self-consciousness of soul. Or maybe it's best to say soul is being its own infinite self-consciousness of soul. Or soul is being its own infinite ideal of soul. Soul is being its whole infinite standard of soul. And then what is it when soul is its own infinite love? Page 77, column 1. Then soul is being its own infinite perfection of soul. Soul is being its own infinite integrated being of soul. Soul is being its own infinite self-sufficiency within the realm of soul, when soul is being its own infinite love. So this would help if get a grasp of the concession then to the ideas of the synonymous terms in the column level of science itself would be the concession at the most, maximum one would take here, and begin to see it helps maybe some of us gain a little bit more of understanding then of what it is when the synonymous terms have within themselves their own infinitude, that they include within themselves their own idea. And so therefore we can see that this level then of science itself, as I said, really is in its purity when we can stick to the fact and see that that is an experience of principle being its own infinite principle, like a kaleidoscope constantly restructuring itself as an experience spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. So therefore, as an exercise tonight, I'd like you, therefore, we won't have class, we're on the dot, we're exactly where we should be, and what I wanted us to do this evening is to take this law of the level of science itself and go into the arc of understanding and ponder and see if one can build up a tonality of the law of the level of science itself through this law of infinite self-reflection, and stick with it as best as one can. If one needs, therefore, the help of the ideas that characterize the synonymous terms, then one certainly can bring those in to help in aid to stick to what it means when principle is being its own infinite principle. Then once one has appreciated that standpoint, I would like us then to anticipate our work tomorrow, which we said would be on the law of the level of divine science. So take a look, therefore, on page 81 in the study aid. And as we see in the questionnaire that I sent out on page 6, that the law of the level of divine science, that law of divine self-organization, as we said, is found on page 81 in the study aid and is talked about as background material for this law on, for example, on pages 127 to 143 in the level book. And begin to then anticipate that we will be doing this law of divine science just as we did the law of the level of science itself, in this, using the Socratic method, questioning ourselves just what is the pedal note of the level of divine science, what is the tone of the level of divine science, what are the factors of the law of divine science, What is the law itself of divine science? What is the application of the law of divine science? What is the invariable or constant of the law? What is the variable that is only within the integrity of the law itself? Certainly not going outside the law to vary itself. And then state the criteria for perhaps using various ideas for the synonymous terms on that level, though it's still a concession using ideas on that level. It's divine science, and ideas are on the level of absolute Christian science. So that is the assignment that I'd like to have each one do this evening before you retire, and come tomorrow, therefore, full of the promise in anticipating again an adventure on our tour through the galaxies of these universal laws of being. It opens up just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful law when we flow from the law of science itself to the law of divine science, and see if we can see that flow, how divine science is divine. It comes down from a principle out of heaven, but it certainly doesn't leave its origins of roots in the law of the level of science itself. See how one flows from the law of the level itself through the law of divine science, and we will do that in the flow. So see how much you can accomplish tonight in your own quietude. All right, so we go on now and see that translation from science itself to divine science and begin to build up what is going on in this through the law of translatability. We know that within being itself, as we have seen in the concept of structuralism that Piaget has shown us in his book Structuralism, that reasoning out from holistic logic, as Mrs. Eddy has done and shown us in the textbook, that therefore every system which is holistic has within itself the laws of translatability, to translate itself from one level to another, and also within itself those laws of self-regulation, which are governing then that law of translatability to the various levels of existence. So now we see the law of translation going on, where it is a principle itself is translating itself through its own self-operation as it appears on divine science as its own law of self-organization. And then, of course, its law of self-regulation, really a divinely cybernetic process, a self-operating process, because principle itself contains within itself its idea. We're seeing now that principle expressing its idea by itself. It certainly isn't because we're thinking about a principle that it operates. This is something that we learn now is a self-operating, self-organizing, self-regulating, and as we'll see, error-preventing, error-correcting system. It's divinely cybernetic. It's a goal-seeking system. And therefore, it is always, as we saw yesterday, and we'll see more and more today, it's always seeking itself. That's its point. It's always that law of self reflection, which is always seeking its own infinite self. That's what has been set up at the logic of the level of science itself, that principle is its own infinite principle. And that principle is always infinitely self-reflecting itself. That's the whole logic, the whole point of being. So if we just kind of underscore that, that's the whole intent of being has already been established on the science level. And so because that being always wants to, as we see, restructure itself, therefore, in its own likeness, like can only reproduce like, as we know, therefore it is always seeking to restructure itself. If it certainly finds its objectification like itself, which it really is always in reality, anyhow, regardless of even way down on the human level, so to speak, we think that something else is going on besides spirit being its own infinite spirit. And on the human level, even though we call spirit matter, doesn't change the fact that a spirit. It's just, as we will see, that the system has to, a spirit will seek out to reflect spirit. And when it doesn't have that complete transparency, it automatically changes everything back to spirit through the Christ and its retranslation. That's a simultaneous happening. So yes, as we have seen together then, that a principle doesn't know error. No, it only knows itself. It's just seeking itself. As we come down to the Christian Science level, we'll see that spirit is just seeking the spirit in us, and therefore making that oneness and congruency between spirit's nature and our nature, which looks like a retranslation, as Mrs. Zetti then says, is where there is light, there can be no darkness. So once spirit seeks its own nature and finds that nature in us, that remnant is there. Obviously, we are that one spirit, infinitely individualized, yet still remaining that one spirit. That as spirit seeks its nature in us, if it finds pure reflection, that's fine. Then the Son of a Man stays in heaven, or we could say the Son of the pure reflection of God called man stays in heaven. If it doesn't find that likeness or nature within us that is pure and spiritual, like spirit itself, then automatically where there is light, there can be no darkness. And it brings it right back to through its self-regulation process, like itself. We will see the mechanism of that and more, and explain and talk about that in more detail. But what I wanted to talk about at this point is that it's that principle being its own infinite principle. It's that self-reflection that is going on, and that maintains its integrity on all the levels. A principle never, nothing ever happens without, outside, let's say, outside the withinness, the infinite withinness of principle. Nothing, ever. If Mrs. Zetti said that God is all in all, then everything is going on within the realm of God.